Welcome, friends, to the God Friended Me podcast by Fantastic Geek. My name is Matt, and joining me, as always, is Pete. Good day, Pete.
Good day, Matt. Good day, everybody. Here today to talk to you about the triumphant season one of God Friended Me on CBS.
Indeed, Pete. There's many ways to measure success in a TV series, but maybe the best way to measure the success of a first season is the order for another season, and that happened many, many months ago. Thank goodness we're not waiting for, you know, for upfronts and that such and such day in May where the head of CBS will talk to advertisers on Madison Avenue, and it's just, you know, we get to reflect on the first season now. We get to look forward to sharing some show news over the summer as it happens, and then season two will be coming easy peasy lemon squeezy.
Absolutely. And instead of the stress, as you allude to, Matt, that the creatives would be sweating, you know, are we coming back? Aren't we? Et cetera, they are now preparing to plot a path into season two.
And just as a side note, Pete, for the people who are with us for multiple podcasts, no stress for God Friended Me. No renewal stress, anyway. No stress at all. No renewal stress for Star Trek Discovery. No renewal stress for Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. And likely no renewal stress for the yet-to-be-released Mandalorian Season 1. So
I believe they already have a second season.
Regardless, things are surprisingly chill right now, and I think that's the perfect... Absolutely. It's the perfect environment to talk about this uplifting show, one in which, Pete, we're not gnashing our teeth. We're not saying, why did you take this show from us? It's that God Friended Me uplift at the end of the season, even in the real world.
Yeah, and having been with a show done by these creators before in Brian Winbrandt and Stephen Lillian, Alcatraz, Matt, all the way back in 2012, not having gotten the renewal there and long overdue, and really interested to see them be able to tell a multi-season story now.
And I think that it is to such credit to the show and to Lillian and Winbrandt that they ended this season with the closing of a chapter. You know, like the show is very clearly saying the search for who is behind the God account, that is no longer a story that we are probably going to pursue, or rather that we will not pursue in the foreseeable future. And get ready for things that are different. Get ready for a slightly different dynamic with all the characters. It's not that full reset like we've seen with other shows, but it's just kind of, it's moving on to that next chapter with familiar friends in slightly new situations.
Yeah, and as we pick up with them in season two, especially with the, it's not quite an epilogue, but, you know, the tag-ish scene there with this yet unnamed character coming forward to Miles and saying, you know, hey, not funny, you know, God sent me your name, and how that pushes the premise ever forward.
It does, and I think that this is a show that as it evolved in these first 20 episodes in the first season, it's a show that we saw kind of finding its footing a little bit here and a little bit there. And again, it's to the credit of the creators and to the entire creative push behind it that they're not kind of staying still and next week is going to be the same as last week. And it's this continually evolving premise.
And with Kara headed to Paris with Priya and Henry and Simon, what kind of developments that portends for her character, for the premise of the show, for Priya having leukemia here, moving forward, all the types of things that the writer's room will get going on very, very soon.
And I think it's the kind of story set up too, where if some of the actors in the Priya, Simon, Henry configuration, if they are not available or that sort of thing, you can write around that, you know. If for example, Parminder Nagra wants to come back and is super excited, then great. Maybe we do a beaten cancer story. if, you know what, she's scooped up to do a movie or another TV show, whatever it might be, then maybe off screen, the character, you know, passes away and sad notes are made, but the show is able to move on, that sort of thing. There's enough wiggle room where they're not locked into, you know, the first episode must be in France and that sort of thing.
And then Rakesh, of the three of them, would seem to have the most empowered, least changed path, getting this job, R&D at Identity Seal, effectively able to do whatever he wants.
Which I think is a good spot for him. I mean, we talk about some of these character reboots. I think, let's say, for example, Reverend Finer, who now, I mean, I obviously still has the title of Reverend, but no longer, you know, actively in charge of a church. I think for Rakesh to continue to have that insertion in the world of technology, it's something that definitely makes sense for him as a character.
Yeah, and you have to wonder what with his engagement to Trish, does that push her into regular status? And let's not leave out Allie, Matt. I think you and I have advocated steadily to see more of Javicia Leslie's character. She was a revelation when we attended the Paley Center panel back at the end of February, and really hoping that she gets a lot more to do in season two.
Normally, when we do these season recaps, we talk highlights and lowlights. I dare say there's not much space to talk about lowlights on such an effervescent show as this. I think that with the character of Allie, that's an area where the show can grow and improve in the second season. Far too often she was, hey, can I pour you a beer and hear you recap last week's episode or recap the current situation before you then leave? And I go back to cleaning the bar here. She has this higher education that she's working on, and just as they were daring with Reverend Finer, daring with Kara to kind of reboot, restart their direction in life, Pete, we have a whole second season to look forward to where we get to know Allie a little bit better.
Yeah, and then, you know, what kind of friends might we have return that we've already met? Was really neat in the finale to get a couple of them back. You know, we see somebody like Rabbi Zoe a little bit more, get a little bit more of that multi-faith connection going on. You know, we had Priya, who was in the Brahmin temple there. So it's going to be interesting to see how much the show carries over and how much it kind of like soft reboots as they look at this second season.
I particularly enjoyed the return of Rabbi Zoe, given that my understanding of how the first episode was described before we watched it in August, which could have been a wrong description, don't get me wrong, but I thought that part of the rotating cast of characters in the show was going to be Rabbi Zoe. Indeed, maybe that was their plan in the pilot, and then plans changed. Let's not forget, even removing the fact that we watched the pilot online in August, you know, when most people watch a TV show, you watch the first episode and then a week later you watch the next, and it feels with this unbroken continuity. Of course, in television production, they do the pilot, then they look at it, they tinker with it, the network has ideas, changes are made, et cetera, et cetera. But bottom line is, I thought Rabbi Zoe was going to be a big part of things. Then all of a sudden she wasn't. Okay, the show evolved to then circle back to her at the end. It was a little extra bit of well-placed pieces that I wasn't planning on, but I appreciated nonetheless.
It was, and I think that they really found a nice balance between our regular cast of characters and then the ones they would sprinkle in on a one-time basis and the ones who came back once or twice or even more than that when looking at you, Priya.
Or even some of the smaller reappearances, like the taxi driver and things like that, the detective, though the detective did not show up in the final episode. It just added this sense of real worldiness to it, where it wasn't just special guest actor brought in for 6 days. Thank you for playing your part. That's a wrap. Now, you know, pick up your paycheck on the way out. It just felt like, yeah, you could turn the corner and, hey, there's that guy who we haven't seen in 4 months, but there he is, small world here in the island of Manhattan.
So where do you think, Matt, we're going to catch up with our characters in season two? The 6 month time frame was floated. That'll be when Kara returns from Paris. We ended season one in April. That would put us in real time in October.
Which is around when the show will be returning. I mean, obviously the CBS schedule far from being announced, but Pete, it's probably not going to start to air again in July or August. It probably won't be the first 2 weeks in September. So you want to have them in, knit caps and heavier jackets in episode 201, though shot in July, because it's fall in New York when it gets presented. Sure. You want to do episode 204 is a special Halloween episode that comes out on October 20th or something like that, because that's how the schedule shakes out. All the better. I do think we're going to get that 6 month break, in part because I don't know that there's a lot of story potential in the search going on over there in France in terms of needing to see that episodically. I think to come back and report back and give the updates, I think there's more story potential there. Add to it the fact that the show does shoot in New York and makes fantastic use of exterior New York locations. It feels like you're actually in New York, unlike some other shows we podcast where it feels like we're in a soundstage, not actually in New Orleans sometimes. But all the more reason for the show to return to its New York filming location by bringing all the characters back.
It's going to be interesting to see, with as big a piece of the setting as Harlem Episcopal was in season one, to see how they transition away from that.
It will. I mean, you still have the home base, though, of Miles' apartment. You still have Identity Seal, where Rakesh is working, where I guess Miles still works. You know, I think we've taken occasionally a loving finger wag at the show that, like, Miles doesn't need to go to work on the days when there's a really great mission and he needs to go see, you know, a tenant meeting at 1 p.m. and he's just not going to work that day. But I think we have enough continuity where whatever the future is for Reverend Finer and his lady love, you know, that can be new sets, new locations, new whatever it might be.
Matt is not a Facebook worshiper. I do dine at the altar of Facebook as a member of their service.
And lately you've been enjoying a lot of borscht too. That's kind of weird.
So, like, when we think about the functions, because I know that's been a discussion and something, you know, that the writer's room pays attention to. So Facebook being a brand, something they use on the show, and, you know, they've been out in front of saying there are things that Facebook can do, there are things that Facebook cannot do. So what have we had? We've had friend requests. We've had, you know, businesses that have been liked. We've had Facebook Marketplace pop up now. It'll be interesting to see what other kind of features or functionalities of Facebook get employed instead of just this thing was liked, this person was suggested. And now that God has suggested Miles to somebody else, what are the logical leaps from there as far as the functions of the software?
I think that's a great question. I think, too, the show has been incredibly lucky in terms of, I think, the real world feeling towards Facebook and some of the 2016 election stuff, and indeed some of the ongoing concerns that there are about Facebook. The show has largely dodged that because Facebook is used in a way, you know, this certainly does not feel like the Facebook show starring Facebook and also some other people. It's when you're in the middle of a really heated conversation, that's all of a sudden when, boop, boop, oh, friend update. Wait, that's the guy we just saw in the deli. Right. You know, it's a story device to insert newness and to change things up and to bring us missions of the week and things of that sort. So though there might be Justice Department vultures circling over Mark Zuckerberg himself, and though there might be real world considerations of charges or this or that, even if that happens in, you know, in the next 6 months of our real world, you know, all Miles needs is boom, oh man, we need to go see Joe the garbage collector, not, you know, hey, I was on Facebook Marketplace and I was using Facebook Messenger because I can't keep in touch with my lady Kara without Facebook. The show is far from that.
Right. And just looking over, you know, some of the tabs on there, Matt, that we have not explored yet. There's the idea of groups, you know, maybe that becomes a thing to push a story forward. Pages. Maybe, Matt, we get all VR. There's an Oculus tab now on Facebook that, you know, maybe season four features an entire subplot where Miles never leaves his apartment because he's got VR goggles on.
Let's hope we don't go quite that far. Again,
it's a bottle season.
It is.
But it's not, because you got to shoot the things that he's seeing in virtual reality.
Again, bottom line is to get out there in New York, to be having these characters interacting in these real settings in authentic ways. That's the meat and potatoes of this show. And wherever they're going to go, it's a welcome direction. Pete, we will, of course, as news develops for the show, whatever it might be, we certainly will update this podcast feed. But as we kind of get ready to put things on pause for Godfriend and Me, we have to thank everybody who has supported us all season long on patreon.com/fantasticgeek. It really does add to that sense of community in a genuine way, even as we talk about a show that uses technology to bring people together in a communal sort of sense.
And as much as we love podcasting Godfriend and Me, there are real world non-denominational costs, Matt, that enter into this enterprise of ours. Bandwidth, storage, etc. So everybody who contributes at patreon.com/fantasticgeek gets access to exclusive podcast content. There's all sorts of levels and goodies we have up there right now. Recently recorded 48 minutes of it, an Avengers Endgame non-spoiler preview. So as you're preparing for that Thursday of this week, if you go into the advanced showings, the cast premiere is tonight, Matt, Monday out in Los Angeles. You can get a taste of what's coming. Again, no spoilers.
And as news for the upcoming second season is heard there across the interwebs, Pete, how can people be in touch with you to share their excitement about Godfriend and Me?
You can find me on Twitter at Peter, P-I-E-T-E-R-J, Ketelaar, K-E-T-E-L-A-A-R, 10,431 followers, can't be wrong.
And while I'm personally on Twitter as Looking Back Lost, do be in touch with the podcast, comment on FantasticGeek.com, check us out on Twitter, on Instagram, on Gmail, where we are Fantastic Geek as well. But wait, Pete, there's more.
Facebook.com/FantasticGeek with the PH, all one word, like it today.
Well, what a treat it has been talking about Godfriend and Me back from its August premiere all the way until now. So, as mentioned before, we will definitely update the podcast feed as news unfolds over the summer and certainly ahead of the second season. But with that, Pete, time to say goodbye for now. So I will say adios to all our listeners and give you the final word.
Ta-ta.